Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry of Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Thanks for joining us for this sermon series podcast from Pentecost Sunday. Carol Allen will deliver our scripture reading this week, and our guest proclaimer is Randy Ashcraft, who is a familiar voice to many in the Greystone community. Here's Randy with his message titled, Be Not Afraid. Easy for you to say.
This is a reading from the book of Acts. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And a reading from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. "For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline."
Well, good morning, Greystone. What a pleasure it is to be with you, even if it's a limited venue like this medium, but at least we have the opportunity to be together. And I am grateful each time I think of you, and I think of you often, and I hear great and positive reports about you and the church that you are becoming with your new pastor. And so bright days are ahead for you, I'm sure. What a strange and challenging time this is. Who could really have imagined the life-altering ways we are living today? I wore my mask today. It serves also as a buff, as they say, for my fly fishing passion. So I found a new use for it. But you don't leave your house without your mask or without your disinfectants or without paying great and unusual attention to how you're using your hands, touching your face, or what you do touch. Our world is upside down, and it will be for months to come. And that's difficult for us to adjust to. Heightened fearfulness is one of the most toxic byproducts of COVID-19 and the COVID-19 world. We've organized our lives for the most part to prevent having to fear for our lives. We have lived in protected ways. We have not feared on a daily basis for our lives because of war or because of lack of food or housing. At least most of us in this venue have not done that. Others certainly have. However, in a time like this, we realize how little control we actually have over the circumstances that are affecting our existence. When was the last time that you felt really afraid? Has it been in recent days? I remember being terrified for my life twice in my life. Once I was in the midst of a forest fire that changed directions and caught three of my friends and myself in a very precarious position, and we feared that our lives might be over. I've also had a couple of other circumstances that are similar, close calls with auto accidents and other events that made me think that my life might have come to an end. Has this COVID world created any fear for you? It does create fear for me. I'm almost embarrassed to share it, but it really does. I'm in that high risk group. I hate even saying and hearing this. Lately, people say things to me like, well, you really need to be careful, with a look that suggests something about my age and physical condition, among other things, I presume. I've been afraid that I might contract this virus, and the outcome, from what I read, would not be pleasant or good. So I'm being extra cautious. If I slip up, I admit that my mind will race to the most drastic outcomes. It's this unknown that creates so much anxiety and fear, and I, like you, hate being afraid. It's a good thing, then, that our faith story addresses this, almost on a daily basis. Over 300 times in the Bible, some say exactly 365 times in the Bible, we hear the words, "Do not be afraid," which helps me because obviously good people, loving people, people who wanted to know and be faithful to God were often afraid, and for good reason. The bad guys were out to harm them on a daily basis. In the Old Testament, people were enslaved and taken to a foreign land. In the New Testament, we see the oppressive nature of the government and the way in which the government kept people at arm's length and harmed them on many occasions. The system was rigged against the people of Scripture in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, and the powers and the principalities were devouring the best of persons. Walter Brueggemann, the preeminent Old Testament scholar, has said that you can summarize the entire Bible in simply two words. And those words are fear not. Fear not. Significant words because we find ourselves experiencing more fearful scenarios, especially related to this virus, every single day. The words of 2 Timothy really help us this morning. For the Spirit that God gave us does not make us cowards, but gives us power, gives us love, and gives us self-discipline. And so it was, and so it is imperative that we be reminded and assured that we do not need to live out of a spirit of fear, but love combined with the strength and the power of God's presence. Much easier to say than it is to do. When people suggest to me that I should or I ought to do something, or I should not be sad, or I should not grieve, or I should not experience fear, these well-meaning people who want our lives to be better, want my life to be better, But these mandates, these oughts, and these shoulds are not necessarily helpful. And this virus has created a whole fear culture, as if we needed another reminder of a fearful enemy. And this is dangerous because fear has the power to divide us. It makes us suspicious of one another. It can rob us of our basic humanity and can arouse unfounded and hateful thoughts towards those that we encounter every day. Fear clouds our best judgment and alters our ability to act responsibly. Common sense can find itself left out on the back porch, lost in red-hot emotions. And so it is that this mandate, this suggestion from Timothy, while seemingly misses a lack of compassion and understanding, is helpful for us to hear because it is a resource at hand. And quite honestly, when I read those words, when I let those words penetrate into the deeper recesses of my heart and my soul, when I allow the truth of them to rest for a time and not reject them straight up, I am comforted by the fact that even though the world may seem out of control, that God is with us, that God loves us, and that God will not abandon us. So at Pentecost, when the Spirit invades the life of those Jesus followers, the world was also turned upside down, but not from a virus. This powerful presence was from the very heart of God, and everything changed. Those who had been possessed by fear, who were hiding out, who did not want to show their faces, who were horrified by the crucifixion of Jesus and even by the resurrection of Jesus, these people were now emboldened to live a new life, free from the old chains of fear and regret. Fresh winds were blowing through the corridors of their lives, and they experienced a euphoria and a strength and power that went beyond just mere feeling or emotion. A truth emerged, and this truth is that there is life to be lived. There are ways in which we can invest our lives that enable us to walk straight, upright, and without fear. And ordinary common people lived out extraordinary lives because the Spirit had come. And this morning we recognize that the Spirit is still in our midst. Our great barrier is that we often forget this and want to take life into our own hands. Again, Brueggemann, in a recent book that he published only in the last 6 weeks related to the COVID virus, suggests that this out-of-control virus has reminded us of how much control we really lack. It has put us in our place, so to speak, and if nothing else, has driven us to a place where we must open our hearts and our hands to powers that are beyond us, and in that begin to recenter what is valuable in our lives, what is most important. Our loved ones, friends, fellow church folk, notwithstanding, all of these people, all of these priorities began to emerge. The late Peter Noems of Harvard helps us to understand this more fully when he says that fear not sin is the curse of the human condition. However, Jesus can free us from our fears, primarily the fear of death. And when we are free from this terrifying ending, we are given our lives back. It is, in fact, the absoluteness of this virus that creates the basic fear, that it is powerful enough to take our lives and that the medicines that we had created are not successful at this present time. Hopefully they will be in the future. I have great hope in that. We understand and know that we have things to learn, both about ourselves and about the world, and hopefully about our faith itself. Harry Emerson Fosdick said that our faith is powerful in the face of fear. It's cynicism and fear that freezes life, he said, and it's faith that thaws it out and releases it so that life can be truly free again. In those moments when I am afraid, or when I let my emotions run away with me, or when I'm in a catastrophic mood, I personally do not resent the Bible telling me 365 times, be not afraid. It causes me to join the human race. It allows me to know that the human condition does include fear. It enables me, however, to hold on to a declarative statement that is intended to reinforce what I know, but sometimes maybe fail to feel. A few years ago, Walter Brueggemann, who I mentioned previously, was with a group of Christian leaders for a teaching session. Folks were prepared and ready to take notes and soak in the deep intellect of this scholar, to share in the wisdom that he offered, and hopefully it would open their minds and their hearts to something new. However, they were taken back by the introductory provocative question. Dr. Brueggemann asked the participants to remember a time in their childhood when they were frightened in the night. You know, you're lying in bed, you're imagining the scariest of things, your heart begins to beat faster. A night when shadows were monsters and every sound represented an inherent danger. A night filled, especially for a child, with terror and fear. And then he instructed the participants to think about calling out to your mother or father or grandparent perhaps. And that special person takes you into their arms and holds you tight and begins to offer you reassuring words of comfort and love. And then things like this are said. Everything's going to be all right. It's all okay. It's okay. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. This morning I join you with all of my humanity and with all the challenges that I face to hold faith, at least with the same energy and strength that I am tempted to hold fear. I join you in this struggle. I also join you in declaring that amidst the fears that I face, that I will choose to listen to what the Scriptures are saying. That no matter what I may face, I can trust that God walks with me. No matter what I may feel, I understand that God has promised to be an ever-present source of comfort and strength. And that in my most fearful times, I will hear this primary message that God seeks to offer. Ultimately, even in the face of our worst fears, even death itself, this is the message we all long to hear. Do not be afraid. Or as Timothy says this morning, do not allow a spirit of cowardice or fear to overtake you. Rather, claim your gifts of power and love. Grace and peace to you, Greystone, in these turbulent days. And may you sense, even as we are apart, the great pulling together that is the Spirit of Christ that lives in us. Amen.